Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Bring in show music, please.
This is Squawk Pod from CNBC. I'm producer Cameron Costa, and here's what we're talking about on today's episode. The FBI has disrupted a Russian hacking operation. Former CIA Director General David Petraeus joins us from the Munich Security Conference. He's talking Vladimir Putin's geopolitics.
His willingness to negotiate, this is all pure fiction. He wants to crush Ukraine, and if he is able to do that, he won't stop there. Moldova, Lithuania, and others will be next.
And the Fox, Disney, Warner Brothers Discovery sports streaming deal. Why we still don't know too much about it, and why the sports leagues haven't said much either. Former FTC Commissioner Mozell Thompson.
Everybody has been a little quiet. They haven't said what they're going to do yet, because I think they were caught by surprise.
Plus, when you don't really know how to work your Roku.
We could probably call the IT desk.
Might call Andrew.
The fate of classic mall stores and a sports story to really bet on. Caitlin Clark's drive to history.
Oh yeah, she did.
It's Friday, February 16th, 2024, and Squawk Pod begins right now.
Stand Becky by in 3, 2, 1, cue please.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Squawk Box right here on CNBC. We're live from the NASDAQ market site in Times Square. I'm Becky Quick, along with Joe Kernan. Andrew is off today. It's a Friday, and we're burning into that Friday ahead of a three-day weekend.
Shares of Roku are plunging. The company reported a loss of 55 cents a share, worse than the 52-cent loss that analysts had expected. An average revenue per user also disappointing. It slipped by 4% during the quarter. But guidance for the current quarter was better than expected, and executives told shareholders they plan to increase revenue and free cash flow and achieve profitability over time. The stock took a hit earlier this week on a report that Walmart could buy Vizio, the TV smart TV maker, giving it access to advertise on its platforms. And Roku runs a similar platform, which generated $829 million in revenue from advertising and licensing during the quarter.
A lot of people don't realize that Walmart has its own advertising unit. It's a pretty profitable unit for them. It's been building over time. So you think, okay, advertising, why would Walmart matter with that? Yeah. But they do have a pretty big online advertising
program. Remember on one, not the right person to talk about this, but on one of the recent TVs that I bought, it comes with Roku. Mm-hmm. And I think you got to sign in and do a bunch of stuff. But
we have Roku on some of them.
You do?
Yeah.
You use it?
We've swapped out.
TV, we used to
use Roku, and now on our more recent ones, we've got a different
package. Didn't Apple TV take the place of Roku?
In some cases, but I have a different one even than that. So.
I didn't know what to do with this. What are we supposed to do with this?
Good question.
Did that help me out?
Yeah.
That might not be the most probing question for this.
We could probably call the IT desk. That's what we
might call Andrew.
Yeah.
We can get him, picks up his phone.
Yep. Maybe leave him alone this morning.
Maybe leave him alone.
Right now, an interesting story about an American retailer that anybody with kids knows pretty well. Last week, the Children's Place warned that it was running out of cash. The staple of American shopping malls has been on the edge of bankruptcy, but since last week's warning, more than half of the company's stock has been snapped up by the Al Raji family. They're the founders of Saudi Arabia's largest private bank. Mithaq Capital, which invests some of the family's money, bought 46% of the retailer's shares on Friday and Monday, and another 8% on Tuesday. It spent at least $80 million to buy control of the company during three trading sessions. It's an unusual way to execute a hostile takeover without speaking to the company's executives or taking a public offer to shareholders. Mithaq was able to execute the takeover because Children's Place quarterly report missed estimates on Friday, and many shareholders were eager to sell out quickly. Mithaq has confirmed the company plans to replace the board at this year's annual shareholder meeting. We should note that the company is small with a market cap of just $312 million. I guess the only question is why not wait till they went into bankruptcy? But if you can get a price that cheap after the shares fell so sharply, maybe it's easier to just do it on the open market.
That is tiny.
Yeah, very small. I was in a children's place on Monday.
No. Children's place.
No, look, any of these companies have suffered pretty greatly.
Yeah.
The ones that are stored in the malls, because so much of this is now done online. I was in a children's place Monday looking for a Valentine's Day shirt. There weren't any, of course, because it was too close to Valentine's Day. But it's been a long time since I've been into a lot of these stores, too.
It's got to be a nice mall now. I mean, that's the way that it's separated. The nice ones from the crappy ones are like ghost towns.
Yeah. Yeah, this one.
And where I'm going to walk, no, I haven't. He hasn't come to that. Has not come to that, but I see the mall.
It's a
mall,
good place for indoor walking, keeping your steps up in the wintertime.
Nurse's shoes, I see everybody. Yeah, it's kind of cute. No, I still run outside, damn it. We're watching the shares of DraftKings. The company reported a loss of 10 cents a share. The street was looking for a profit of 8 cents. Revenue gained 44% year over year, but fell slightly short of expectations. DraftKings also announced that it plans to acquire lottery app Jackpocket for about $750 million. So a little slim pickings this week for things going on.
Well, you clearly weren't watching the Rutgers-Northwestern game last night.
Can't bet on Rutgers.
Oh, right, in the state.
Because it's in the state or
Seton Hall. Well, Rutgers won. Spoiler alert.
They played?
Northwestern.
Northwestern's
really good.
I bet on Northwestern before. Yeah, Rutgers is definitely competitive. Tonight, Villanova-Georgetown. That's about it, though. No NBA games because the All-Star game is Sunday.
No football games this weekend.
No football games. Can you bet on hockey?
I don't know, but the Devils lost last night, too.
There's a bet on DraftKings. They got someone has to score a goal in the first 10 minutes. I think that's a sucker's bet. Don't you think?
No.
You think it can happen? Doesn't happen very often.
No. But
that's what I mean.
Yeah, it doesn't
First
happen
period,
often.
I might do it. First 10 minutes. It's, I don't know. It's like soccer. Would you bet? Soccer's different. It's will you bet on a goal being scored in the season?
I love soccer.
Will the goal be scored this year?
Let's tell you about a pretty stunning performance in college basketball on Peacock last
night. Oh, yeah,
This was a big deal. Iowa's Caitlin Clark needed 8 points to break the Division I women's scoring record.
Scored 40-something.
49, I think. She wasted no time getting there, and she actually broke the record in style. She took a shot from just over the half-court line that hit nothing but net. By the way, it took her just 2 minutes and 12 seconds to score those 8 points that she needed. Clark not only broke the NCAA record, she also set a new single game scoring record at Iowa. She finished with 49 points. And wow, this was a sellout crowd. I don't know if you've been watching. It's more than $500 a ticket, I think, on average, to get into these games that she's playing in.
It's an incredible shooter. I can't put my finger on what goes on. What is that that allows you?
Excellence, that's what that is.
How? There's all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, it's almost like AI.
There's some physics that goes into it.
You're moving forward, you're moving backwards, you're moving to the side, you're still able to adjust all those
former
things.
Former Senator Bill Bradley.
Yeah.
He played at Princeton and then went on to
but play he was, the Knicks. Even though he was at Princeton, he was still really good.
Yeah, and he played at the Knicks. But when he was at Princeton, there was an article that I read a long time ago, I think from The New Yorker, where it talked about he was shooting from anywhere. He knew if the rim was off by an inch or something because he'd be taking the shots. No, that should fall. Like, he would know because you're doing the math and the physics in your head.
There's a million things. And there's also a guy in front of you or a girl in front of you. So the arc has to be, it's unbelievable. You know, I saw someone sent me Steph Curry from full court, hit five in a row from full court.
I just
full
saw court. A shot yesterday. He hit from the tunnel.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Five in a row.
Five in a row,
full court.
Yeah.
Not half court.
No. He can shoot from anywhere. He's taking shots from the stands that hit.
I don't know how they. I don't know. I was gonna say we want to check out that brain to see how it works, but
maybe we let it go.
80 years. Well, in 80 years we need to.
Einstein's brain.
Yeah,
Einstein's.
Cheese will be next.
Up next on Squawk Pod: Russian espionage and U.S. defense. with former CIA Director General David Petraeus, who's at the Munich Security Conference, the threats from Putin, and the latest news from Russia, including the death of Alexei Navalny.
To be candid, I was surprised that he lived as long as he did. He obviously was the most important and most courageous opponent to Vladimir Putin.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
This is Squawk Pod from CNBC, today with Joe Kernan and Becky Quick. Here's Becky.
Up and Becky, cue.
We do have some breaking news out of Russia. Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny has died, according to Russia's prison service. He was being held in a facility about 40 miles north of the Arctic Circle, where he had been sentenced to 19 years under a special regime. He was just 47 years old.
That's it?
Yep.
FBI Director Christopher Wray says the U.S. and its allies have averted a Russian cyber spy operation targeting the U.S. and Europe. For more on this and other geopolitical threats, let's bring in retired four-star Army General David Petraeus. He's a former CIA director and now serves as KKR Global Institute chairman. General Petraeus joins us from the Munich Security Conference, where Director Wray announced news of the Russian spy operation. Thanks for joining us. And you must know vastly more about this than we do, General. Can you just fill us in on what you've been able to find out about what was such a cryptic, the way it was released and everything else earlier this week was a little bit bizarre.
Well, look, I'm long since serving in government, Joe, and I certainly haven't talked to Director Wray. But there's no end of threats coming out of Russia, without question. We've had this recent worry, this concern, huge concern about the possibility of some kind of weapon in space, whether it's an actual nuclear weapon in space or a nuclear-powered satellite, more along the lines of some of what we have, that has an electromagnetic pulse weapon. Either of those would be very alarming because, of course, we're hugely dependent on positioning, navigation, and timing satellites in space that control so much of what we do in our daily lives, the economy, and, of course, in military capabilities. And then you have this additional threat uncovered and announced by the FBI director, which is, again, completely unsurprising. Russia has been trying for decades to inflame passions in the United States, to play on grievances, to inflame those, to influence our elections, to spy on us, and so forth. So, again, no surprise there. But tragic to hear that Alexei Navalny passed away. To be candid, I was surprised that he lived as long as he did. He obviously was the most important and most courageous opponent to Vladimir Putin, who, remember, he went back on his own from Germany to Russia to continue his crusade against Putin. He's been in prison for a long time, very harsh treatment, often solitary confinement, but still occasionally able to get word out. And now, of course, he has passed away. And I would wonder whether this was natural circumstances or not.
And I guess we shouldn't be surprised with the way it's announced by Russia. They don't even have to explain. They don't even pretend to have to explain what went on, I guess, do they, General?
No. I mean, this is a country that's led by a brutal dictator who is animated by a grievance-filled, revanchist, revisionist view of history that, of course, led him to invade Ukraine, a country he denies the existence of, the right to exist, if you will. And, of course, here at the Munich Security Conference, all these other issues are very important, but I think the one that is center stage has to do with whether the U.S. is going to continue to support Ukraine in the way that the bipartisan majority in Congress believes, and I'm sure Vice President Harris, who's due here in about 2 hours, will underscore the importance of, and then President Zelensky here tomorrow morning. And I think that is the real issue here, as well as just questions about U.S. commitment to NATO and so on that have been raised in recent days.
Yeah, yes, General, NATO writ large.
Exactly.
With some of the recent comments. But
General, what do you think of, I guess, the PR campaign that Putin has undertaken with Tucker Carlson going there, what social media has kind of done with some of those things to this point? He's certainly making the point for why the U.S. should not continue supporting Ukraine.
Well, I'm wholly unconvinced of his argument, which, again, is just full of these manufactured grievances, his version of history. Let's keep in mind that this is an individual who, when asked what the worst geopolitical event of the 20th century was, a century that, of course, included two world wars and the Great Depression, responded the demise of the Soviet Union, the dissolution of the USSR. And he's been trying ever since to reassemble as much of it as he can, perhaps the Russian Empire, as a modern-day czar. And he's done it, in many cases, with very, very brutal means. The invasion was totally unprovoked and incredibly brutal, and it continues. Despite the extraordinary losses that Russian forces are sustaining, you do wonder if there won't come a time. He's unconcerned by these losses. But Russia's mothers and fathers surely at some point are going to say, my son is not going to enlist. And you'll see what we saw earlier, which was more Russian men leaving the Federation than actually showing up at the conscription stations. But he's figured out how, with large enlistment bonuses, to continue to replenish his forces, however poorly trained and equipped they are and however also poorly employed they are in almost human wave attacks. But again, that's the issue that's front and center here. It is the continued Russian threat. It has many forms, as we've seen just in the past week. And again, his long-winded explanation of all of this and his willingness to negotiate, this is all pure fiction. He wants to crush Ukraine. And if he is able to do that, he won't stop there. Moldova, Lithuania, and others will be next on the list.
It seems like he's living in a strange world, too, General, because if he has superpower envy or misses the stature that the USSR had, it's an economic problem. And he's done nothing to address that. And you know, gaining territory, whether it's, you know, Ukraine or the other countries you just mentioned, what does that actually mean when you gain the territory if you still have an economy that's, you know, a tenth of the size of most countries?
Well, in fact, his problem is that he could not abide on his border a former Russian Republic or former Soviet Republic, Ukraine, that was actually a successful, thriving democracy with a free market economy. That would show the Russian people what they could be if they had adequate or even decent governance. Look, Russia has been reduced at this point in time. It's a very formidable country, largest nuclear arsenal in the world. But in many respects, it's a gas station with guns. It has huge quantities, of course, of crude oil, natural gas, and coal. It's still able to find markets for that. That's how its economy has survived, despite our efforts with various sanctions and export controls, all of which need to be tightened, and then the invaders going after and so forth, and that's ongoing. But they've managed to sustain. He's now put the economy in a complete wartime footing so that he can sustain this incredibly costly war. And we need to be doing everything we can to help Ukraine, just as, by the way, the Europeans have. They just recently, the EU, as a body, approved $50 billion in additional, 50 billion euros, actually, so $54 billion of additional assistance. They had already provided two for every one U.S. dollar when you look at it in aggregate, so not just security, but also economic, financial, and humanitarian. And now this additional tranche, European countries, as the NATO Secretary General mentioned yesterday, are stepping up. This year it appears that 18 of the 31 will meet that 2% of GDP on defense goal that has long been established for NATO countries. And we need to continue to do everything we can to help Ukraine to preserve its independence. This is their war of independence, and we need to help them in that. However flawed democracy and free market economy, they share our values and ideals incomparably more than does Vladimir Putin's Russia.
It's all interconnected, and you've got, you know, I was going to ask you about Biden and Netanyahu and Rafa, and then, you know, and we didn't even touch on China, and they're all interconnected as well, General. So it's a
If I could make one last point, in fact,
yeah,
if you don't support Ukraine, you undermine deterrence in the Indo-Pacific, because the response in Beijing will be, see, you can't count on the Americans, just as they responded after we withdrew a small force that was left in Afghanistan, and that country met its disastrous end.
General, we appreciate your time coming to us all the way from over in Germany. Thank you.
Next on Squawk Pod, the sports streaming alliance between Fox, Disney, and Warner Brothers Discovery has consumers ready for a new option. But does it harm competition off the field? Former Federal Trade Commissioner Moselle Thompson weighs in.
I originally thought, well, I know the challenges each of these three entities are facing in streaming. Is this real, or is this the spin that they want to give to the marketplace to show that they're actually doing something?
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
You're listening to Squawk Pod. Here's Joe Kernan.
The sports streaming alliance between Disney's ESPN, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery could face an antitrust review from the Justice Department. Reports say that there are concerns that the deal could harm consumers, sports leagues, and rivals. Join us now to talk about what's at stake. Moselle Thompson, former FTC commissioner under President Clinton. And we had to, you know, we've been talking off camera about some of these things, and people weren't listening. So I guess we got to go over all that again, do we not?
That's all right.
Is this really going to happen?
It's hard to tell because no one knows what the details yet. You know, the devil's in the details. You know, we don't know what the pricing is. We don't know the structure. We don't know what choices are going to be offered.
We don't know the name.
We don't know the name.
You got any good idea?
Well,
did you like mine? Wide World of Sports. Everybody laughed when I came up with that. That was a damn good name. It's not being used, not anymore. But how, off camera we were talking, how can it not be bad for the leagues when you've got these major players all banding together and you know, pooling their resources to, you know, to not bid higher than they normally would have in the past?
Well, there are a couple of things that are happening here. I think the companies are betting, one, that they're going to grow the pie because there are going to be more people who are going to watch things that they wouldn't watch otherwise. Now, I'm not sure the people who watch free TV are and they haven't invested in a cable now are going to be attracted by
never get
trading one bundle for another.
Yeah, it's
I'm
one
not
bundle
sure
for
that's
another.
True. The second thing is, are they going to provide any enhancements? That are they going to give you something that they wouldn't give you otherwise? And it's hard to figure out what that might be. The other way they can maintain their business is to drive their own costs down. If they have more leverage over the sports leagues so that they can pay a lower price.
Why else would they be doing it?
Why wouldn't the sports leagues just say, forget it then? We're going to go to NBC, CBS, Amazon, Apple, anybody else, because we don't like what you're doing.
Well, what's interesting is that everybody has been a little quiet. They haven't said what they're going to do yet because I think they were caught by surprise that they
the
weren't.
Leagues.
Yeah, I think that they were not entirely expecting this. And they are also waiting to see, well, what are the details going to look like?
Which is why they won't give the details, because they don't want anybody to attack them on that front.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Does this ever even happen?
Well, it may happen in some form. One of the things that when you have antitrust scrutiny, that it may look a lot different than how they've originally pitched it.
Right.
And the Justice Department hasn't even told them that they're looking at it, right? It we're just hearing, and just they may be waiting for, as you say, for more specifics, more about prices and everything else. I still don't see how you do it. I told you what I said. I still don't see how you do it without the NFL games that CBS and NBC has. Those are the ones that I want. A lot of that stuff that they're putting in there, I don't even want it. So why? That's why it's hard for me to. And I already have Major League Baseball. I have all those games already. But I said to you, if they had all of March Madness, and that's the only place you could see it, I'd have to buy it. Probably.
Well, you also don't know who else.
TNT, TBS, CBS, but you're right. Yeah, CBS.
CBS has a bunch of the March.
You don't know who else they're talking to either. So, for example, one of the negatives is the Olympics are coming up. They're not going to provide the Olympics because NBC Comcast is. But you don't know who's talking to Comcast. You don't know if they are. So I'm just saying to you that we have to see how this plays out a little. I'm sure what DOJ is they're doing, they're talking to all the potential competitors. They're actually talking to consumer interests. They're also talking to the leagues to find out what are the pushes and pulls, what are the pressures that are going to be on
them. Is there really an argument that an Amazon or an Apple or a Netflix can say, like, oh, they're beating up on us by teaming up? I mean, they have such deep pockets as it is. I could see where an NBC or a CBS would have a complaint.
It depends on what you think your distribution model is. Okay, I think this is an attempt to distribute in a streaming platform, and the entities you just described already show that they have facility to reach an audience online. We don't know what that market is going to look like yet. But when you already have someone like this entity, this proposed entity, that people have already talked about controlling 60 to 80% of the sports content already, I am sure you're going to hear from Amazon, you're going to hear from Comcast, you're going to hear from a lot of people who don't want someone else to essentially populate the field before they even have a chance to compete.
And you would have thought that maybe someone would have called Roger Goodell before putting this together? Wouldn't you think that they would
have? Roger was kind of busy last week.
He was trying to sign up Taylor for next year. No, but it just seems like it's such a sea change that you would have, I don't know, had it, you know, instead of just springing it on people. I'm not sure this happens. And we work for Comcast. Maybe I have a dog or a horse in the race or something. But do you think that this is the final three that we're talking about? It could expand at some point?
It could. We have to figure out what it is. And I don't think that we know enough about
what it should be is that I can watch whatever I want. Whenever I want any
That's
NFL
right.
game, any and the content is still so valuable, more valuable than ever. How come streaming is such a crappy business? And you got someone wrote into this is like if you strap three drunk individuals together, they don't walk any straighter.
Well, when I heard the news, I guess my reaction might have been a little different than some. I originally thought, well, I know the challenges each of these three entities are facing in streaming. Is this real, or is this the spin that they want to give to the marketplace to show that they're actually doing something?
Huh. That's interesting.
And I don't know that yet until the details come out.
I mean,
it's interesting because Disney's in the middle of a proxy battle, too.
Right. So everybody's trying to figure out if they're trying to show that they're exacting value from the contracts they have on sports. And if they have a better story to tell, then maybe that's what they need right now. Right now, I don't know what it is, but I'd be interested to look to find out, and I'm sure DOJ is too.
You know, that Peacock, I had to do premium Peacock to get that one game. I mean, it works.
Right.
If it's the only place I can see something, you're going to, and it's $5 a month or something, you're probably going to do it. But I don't know. It's very strange. The landscape, all this has to shake out, and it all has to do with how hard it is to make money in streaming. Right?
Well, what you're describing is something that might be a little different. We've moved from typical cable bundles to a la carte pricing. But what does a la carte really mean? Does that mean you trade one bundle for another, which might be here, or do you trade for a particular set of events?
Right. We said that for a while, that my a la carte, suddenly I'm above what my bundle was.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, in pricing.
Look.
But I hadn't thought of it from that perspective. They are weeks away from a proxy battle.
Well, you have to have
Disney.
A story. You know, I grew up here in New York. I spent a lot of time working with companies in New York. And I know what this time period looks like. And I've been watching earnings and who has the right story and who doesn't have the right story. And so that's why I thought it was interesting timing of this coming after the Super Bowl, where people paying attention to sports and people.
And right after the Peacock.
That's right.
And then we haven't talked about gambling. And everybody ought to include some type of. That's the most powerful force in sports right now by far. Even
right.
intra-game.
Right.
Wagering is big, too.
And that's all so much more accessible now. That's where streaming becomes much more important. You get real-time information?
I made a $3 bet last night, Becky.
I know. Have a problem.
I know. $3. I only made one bet, $3. I didn't want to go below a certain level. It's very sad. Thanks, Mazel. Musician Rod Stewart has sold his song catalog to Iconic Artists Group for nearly $100 million. This is a Wall Street Journal report that said that the sale includes Stewart's interest in his publishing catalog, his recorded music, and some name and likeness rights, maybe that hair style. At the same time, Iconic said it had raised more than $1 billion in new capital for future catalog investments led by private investment firm HPS Investment Partners. And Iconic's roster, if you don't know, of artists' rights include the Beach Boys, Cher, Dean Martin, and Linda Ronstadt.
Wow.
And I have some affinity for you know, I comb my hair 1,000 different ways, and it comes out looking just the same.
Yeah.
That's a famous line from one of, so he knew.
Yeah.
Even put it into the lyrics of the song.
If I listen long enough to
that's every picture tells a story. I like the really old.
I like his old stuff too. Yeah.
Maggie.
We were just saying Maggie May. We were talking about
mandolin,
this off camera. Yeah.
Wind.
There's some great stuff.
Yeah. Every picture tells a story. Yeah.
That's the pod for today. Thank you for seeing out the week with us. Squawk Box is hosted by Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin. You can tune in weekday mornings on CNBC at 6 Eastern, or you can get the best of our TV show anytime when you follow Squawk Pod wherever you're listening now. We're off for the President's Day holiday, but we will meet you right back here on Tuesday. In the meantime, have a great weekend.
We are clear. Thanks, guys.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.